This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Rebecca Roberts.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Throughout military history, advances in technology, from internal combustion engines to airplanes to robotics, have changed war strategy and affected war outcomes. In Iraq and Afghanistan, advances in body armor and battlefield medical treatment mean more soldiers are surviving their wounds.
But more of those survivors are amputees, which has highlighted a somewhat lagging technology, prosthetic limbs, especially arms. Historically, artificial legs have advanced more rapidly, in part because there's a bigger commercial market for legs. But also, the human arm is an incredible design challenge. Now, funded by the U.S. Defense Department, a huge international team of engineers and scientists is hoping to revolutionize prosthetic arms technology. The ultimate goal is to build a strong, lightweight arm that's actually controlled by the amputee's thoughts. The project's home base is at Johns Hopkins University.
And this is literally what the patient's able to do through their EMG control. They can actuate all the different degrees of freedom. They have wrist flexion extension, wrist rotation, and there's actually, for this hand, there's two different types of grasps.
Bob Arbiter works with the computer program that reads the patient's nerve impulses as the amputee imagines moving his or her arm.
You just ask the patient to do what feels natural, literally move their phantom limb, and we're just going to take sort of a snapshot of what the signals look like. It's called pattern recognition. Literally, the computer is learning what the patient is trying to do so it can recognize those. When it sees those signals again, it can command the arm to perform that way.
As sites for revolutions go, the Applied Physics Lab at Johns Hopkins is an unlikely one. In a nondescript gray office building between D.C. and Baltimore, the lab is littered with plastic body parts and machine shop spec sheets. It's an unusual collaboration of more than 30 labs, universities, and private companies, authorized to the tune of $30 million so far by DARPA, the usually secretive Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Matt Kozlowski is one of the lead engineers.
It is so darn neat. The technologies that are enabling this thing and the work that's being pulled in from all these collaborators all over the world, these people are the finest in their field, and we're having the opportunity to work with them to take some of the things that they've been developing and actually put them to good use.
And they're making a huge step forward. One way they're sending signals from the amputee's brain to the prosthetic arm through neuroconnectivity involves a special surgery. First, the nerves from the patient's shoulder that used to run down the arm have to be rerouted to the patient's chest, once again connecting those nerves with healthy muscle. The arm itself is non-invasive. Electrodes can be placed on the amputee's chest to pick up electrical impulses from the tiny contractions of the muscle and move the prosthetic arm. Stuart Harshbarger, who heads the project for Hopkins, showed us a video of a double amputee named Jesse Sullivan using the lab's first prototype.
It's one of my favorite clips of Jesse stacking checkers. So, you know, even though he got this first king, you know, pretty close, you know, it wasn't perfect. So they were giving him a little bit of a hard time about it. But then, you know, as he watched, he's very precisely placing it the second time around. He's not one to give up. So, you know, he's pretty happy with himself. And like, you know, rightly so. That's pretty precise movement and also, you know, pretty smooth movement, actually, in terms of moving that from there to there.
Jesse Sullivan was a civilian electrical lineman who lost both arms in a work-related accident. Amazingly, the system not only sends Jesse's thoughts to the robotic arm, the arm sends sensation back. Jesse can actually get a sense of grip.
We have a sensor in the prosthetic limb system, and as he grips an object, that amount of force is actually communicated to this little black device we call a tactor. And it provides a little pressure sensation in this area that he already perceives naturally as coming from the ball of his hand. So he actually perceives that as if it's coming from his hand itself.
He can tell how tightly to hold a plastic cup, for instance, to keep from crushing or spilling it. The lab began this project by studying the limits of currently available prosthetics. The most cutting-edge one available now is called the myoelectric arm. It responds to muscle movements in the amputee's stump. If the patient moves a shoulder muscle a certain way, the elbow bends, for instance. Another muscle contraction makes the hand move. And the myoelectric arm is heavy, around 14 pounds. So patients find it hard to learn and cumbersome. In fact, when this lab wanted a myoelectric arm to study, they found one on eBay, put up for sale by someone who had lost patience with the technology. Researchers talked to several amputees who had similar frustrations and had returned to a lower-tech simple hook or learned to live as a one-armed person. Another limitation of current arms is degrees of freedom, engineering speak for movement. Your arm has more than 30 degrees of freedom, from flapping your shoulder to giving a thumbs up. Current prosthetic arms have 3. This lab's first prototype had 8. Prototype 2 will be a bigger leap.
We're going from 8 degrees of freedom to 27.
Again, project manager Stuart Harshbarger.
And we're going from 11 pounds for 8 degrees of freedom, or, not, or 10 and a half or so, down to, you know, maybe something on the order of 9. So we're continuing to drive function up and reduce the overall weight.
The lead engineer on the second prototype is Tom Van Doren. He picks up a key component, a shiny metal cylinder a few inches long with wires protruding from it, which will form the shoulder.
This shoulder here is designed to match the size of a 50th percentile female shoulder and give the force of roughly a 50th percentile male. So this particular piece that I have in my hand has what we refer to as 2 degrees of freedom, which means 2 motions. To bring your arm up forward out in front of you, and then to bring your arm up to the side like you're doing a jumping jack.
And a 50th percentile female is what, about 5'4"?
I'm not sure what her height is. I probably can quote the length of her humerus and the length of her fingers. But very small when you're designing the mechanical components. I think we were all the mechanical engineers were very surprised when we finally started getting our components back from the machine shop at just how small they are. The weight of this device, so the 2 shoulder components that we have here, is very similar to the human arm and will achieve speeds and forces that are very similar to the human arm. So that right there is the challenge for Proto 2, was getting the force out of this arm and the load capacity out of the arm in the same size and mass as a human arm. We are not good enough mechanical engineers to design something that beats the human arm. We're trying to meet it.
Of course, these stubborn design challenges are like catnip for mechanical engineers. It's working with amputees like test patient Jesse Sullivan that get them back in the lab day after day. Matt Kozlowski was lead engineer for Prototype 1.
To see Jesse there as a bilateral amputee without anything on, and just seeing his chest, his torso, and realizing that he can't do anything without the assistance of a device such as this, it really is amazing, because he can't open a doorknob. He can't go and get a drink out of the water fountain. Things that you and I take for granted on a complete, you know, daily. When Bob and I sat there in the field and worked with Jesse and realized, you know, he'd been sitting there for an hour and a half and he hadn't anything to drink, you know, you need to give him a drink because he can't do it himself. And that sort of brought it all home as far as how important some sort of advancements in prosthetics are. The key for the program is in the utility and neurologically interfacing it so that it's really a viable technology. You know, we can make robots all day long, but the reality of it is, in terms of usability, is probably where we're going to make our breakthroughs and revolutionize the state of the art.
Prototype 2 is due for completion in July, and assuming all goes well, in the fall, DARPA will sign off on another $25 to $30 million to take this project to completion in 2009. The ultimate goal, FDA approval of an arm that weighs about 7 pounds, that can pick up a 50-pound weight, maybe even type, an arm that will really help people return to their daily lives.